Welcome to Northwoods. We are so glad you're joining us for service this weekend. I'm Jason.
I'm Hope. And yeah, we are just so glad that you're here. You know, we love spending our Sundays with you wherever you're at. Jason's our pastor over on the Canton campus. Yep. And anything cool happening over there lately?
Oh, we're just seeing our students are just on fire and they're getting into their schools. And we're really excited about that. And so if you're a student and you're watching online, Get to a campus. It's such a great experience to have these students worshiping and just being a part. And speaking of being a part, like getting connected online here. If you go right now to the chat, you can chat with people. You can tell them where you're at, where you're from. If you have any prayer requests, You can put those in there right in the chat right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're new, we would love to know that too. You can let us know that it's your first time in the chat. I was chatting with somebody about that last week, and it's so fun to know that, you know, if it's your first time, you're probably not alone. There's probably somebody else that it's their first time watching online too. So be sure, drop in the chat and say that. And also, if you have any questions about the church, you know, we would just love to connect with you. I especially would. And so if you text new to that number on your screen, it's going to put you in a text message with me. And again, I can answer questions, help you meet people, get connected, whatever it might be that you're looking for. I would love to chat with you about that.
And one of the ways we were talking a little bit ago was just getting involved and volunteering.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you have that's online that people can get volunteering?
Yeah, so there are so many opportunities all across the church. You know, if it's kids ministry, if you're close to Canton and want to serve on that campus, in our worship team, creative arts, you know, just everywhere in the church, there's always a need for volunteers. But I just love to share with you a little bit about what it's like to serve online. And you know, we love that online ministry is something that we get to do here at Northwoods, where we literally get to touch people in their homes. I'm sure there are some of you watching in your workplace or wherever you might be. You know, we want to serve you and pour into you, but we also want this to be a community. We want to be mobilizing you to just be serving others and making a kingdom impact. And you can do that on Sunday mornings by joining the online team. So you'll see there are people with a little host badge next to their name in the chat. Those are some of our volunteers. We have a volunteer prayer team every weekend, and we're doing hands-on ministry with all of you who are here attending on the weekend. And so if that's something that, you know, maybe it makes your heart flutter a little bit, or you think that that's a good place for you to be, I would love to have you on that team. There are some things that happen behind the scenes too. If you don't want to be out there out in front of the chat and whatnot, that's totally fine. So we have a place where we would love for you to serve. So if that's something that you've been thinking about, or a place where you want to get connected more in community, my email is on the screen, and you can just shoot me an email, hope.graves@northwoods.church, and I'd love to help you get connected in a serving role.
Speaking of connecting, let's get connected right now into worship.
Absolutely.
Northwoods starts right now.
Family, we're so glad you're here today. How many of us believe that love and hope are one of the many things found in Jesus Christ? He took our sin to the cross. He conquered the grave. He defeated death. How can we not praise the King of Kings today? So come on, let's sing it out together.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Yeah.
Come on, sing it out.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken the light. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great.
church, would you just come to him today? Would you just bring everything you have and lift a holy sound to him? Lift your voice. It doesn't have to be pretty. He just wants to hear you worship him. Come on, let's sing. You need no invitation. This all belongs to you. We're full of expectation. We're gonna see you move. Where two or more are gathered, there's power in the room. You're all our hearts are after. There's nothing you can't do. Let
here in this place today. Come to your work in us, with us, and through us, God. We want to encounter your presence right here and right now. brings me to my knees. Nowhere to hide. This weight is crippling. Come speak to the sea that's raging inside of me. And all of this worry, to you I will release. Come on, every voice we sing. I cast my cares at your feet. Take it all. Take it all. And I trade my fear for your peace. Take it all. Take it all. And give me your peace. Souls relief. Come speak to the sea that's raging inside of me. And all of this worry, to you I will release. I cast my cares at your feet. Take it. Want to invite you, if you're comfortable, to lift your hands, close your eyes, bow your heads, whatever that looks like for you, to position yourself in a posture of reverence before the King of Kings today. We also want to encourage you today to set aside every and all distractions, but also have an expectant heart to hear from God and to receive freedom and healing and blessings again as we speak God's word over us today. So again, let's just quiet our minds and let's just receive from him today. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isaiah 12:2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So church, in this same posture, let's just worship the King of Kings.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you are with us. Lord, that you have come to conquer sin, Lord, so that we can be in eternity with you. Lord, you are alone are worthy to be praised. You are King of kings and Lord of lords, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that that Holy Spirit, that you would just be in this place, that we would feel your presence. Lord, that we would feel you stir in our lives and open our hearts to receive your word today. Open our eyes to who you are and just help us, Lord, to glorify you in everything we say and everything we do. And it's in your name we pray, amen. You may go ahead and be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to Northwoods. My name is Janine, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. Now, if this is your very first time joining us, we want to give you a great big welcome, and we're so glad you chose to spend part of your Sunday morning with us. And we would love to connect with you. So the best way to do that is to text the word new to the number on your screen. And then next week, someone from our church will reach out to you, and you can ask us questions, and we'll connect and see how this is going for you. Now, everyone else, we're super excited that you're here too, and we want to connect with you. So you know the drill. You've been here for a while. Open up your Northwoods app and fill out the connection card. Now, while you're in there, go ahead and leave any comments for us, share your thoughts, ask us questions, and let us know how we can be praying for you. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am really enjoying the series we're in right now about the Ten Commandments. And I hope you guys will join us next week as we continue in the series and learn what it means to truly honor our parents. I'm thinking my parents would have really liked this one when I was in high school. But maybe I could get my kids in here. Anyway, if you came today prepared to give, we have several simple ways that you can do that. You can go to our website, or you can use the mobile app. You can text the word give to the number on the screen, or you can drop it in any of the drop boxes located around the building. And as always, you can drop it in the mail. And we want to thank you for your faithful giving. It's your generosity that allows us to have fun, inviting weekends where you can reach out to those friends who have been on the fence about whether or not they want to go to church. We have something coming up in November that'll be a perfect opportunity for you to extend that invite. Watch this.
I do think working out is important. I was at the gym the other month. And, I was going to do some cardio, right? But they moved it upstairs. I ain't going up there, man. Please. And I get recognized at the gym. I got recognized. I'm working out. This lady's like, I was like, hey, how you doing? She's like, you don't understand, Michael Jr. You're my favorite comedian. Every time I see you, I laugh my butt off. I was like, keep laughing, you know? Keep laughing. Coaches would say some stuff, too. You ever hear your coach say something like, the stuff I'm teaching you here, it's not just about this game. You can apply it to life. Here's the thing, people. That's not true. I thought it was true. Straight out of high school, one of my first jobs was I used to park cars. One of the cars was really nice, so I took it for a little spin. The company found out, and my boss lost the account. He was yelling at me and screaming. I didn't know what to say or do. I thought back to my high school football coach. I looked at my boss. I was like, you know what, man? You win some, you lose some, man. You can't let this one loss get you down. The important thing is, I went out there and I had fun. And I got fired, man. I got fired right now.
That is just a small taste of what we're going to experience on November 7th. So if you know someone out there who might be on the fence, invite them, bring them in. Laughter is good medicine, and we are going to be doing some laughing. Well, if you have a student or you know of a student who is in 7th through 12th grade, you'll want to listen up to this. Converge, our student ministry, is ramping up for their annual fall retreat. This is a Friday evening and all day Saturday retreat event where there will be fun games, lots of good food, incredible worship, but most importantly, the students are going to see how God's word answers the question, what is truth? And they're going to be able to walk away from that weekend with a better understanding of how to find the real truth in a world where they're getting so many mixed messages right now, every day. So this is something you want to sign your kids up for. Now this year, it's going to be Friday night here on campus, and they're going to get a trip to Elevate Trampoline Park, and then they're going to go home, and they're going to sleep in their own beds, and then come back on Saturday for more fun. So the one thing is, time is running out. So in order to guarantee that your student gets a t-shirt, you'll need to register by October 26th. That's in 2 days. So you'll want to get on that. And then registration closes completely November 2nd. You can go to northwoods.church/converge to get more information and get them registered. Now, here at Northwoods, we believe that God truly still does incredible miracles even today, including healing our minds and our bodies. If you have any kind of pain, injury, sickness, ailment of any kind, we want to invite you to the healing place. It's tonight at 6 p.m. on the Peoria campus. This will be an incredible evening where we'll start the night with worship together, and then we'll hear a short message from Pastor Cal, and then we'll spend the evening seeking God for physical healing. And this is a place for everyone. You don't need to register, you can just show up. So if you have a need in your life that you want to be healed over, or you know of anyone who can benefit from this, join us tonight at 6 o'clock on the Peoria campus, and let's see how God moves in incredible ways. Well, everything I've shared with you today, you can access on our websites and on our mobile app. So now let's prepare ourselves for Pastor Cal's message.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you guys today. Welcome to our online family and our other campuses. And I don't know if you've noticed lately, but our world is into fast. And it's been for a while. It's just getting faster. The theme today is do more and do it faster. One author writes, it's even affected the animal kingdom. A turtle was recently mugged by three snails. When someone asked the turtle what his assailants looked like, the turtle said, I don't know, it all happened so fast. This author goes on, I've discovered that when life is going 100 miles an hour, you can't control it, you can only aim it. He said, every time I turn around, it's do more, do it faster, raise the bar higher. He says, it's not just me, it's everybody. On a plane the other day, I saw a woman in her hurried frenzy place her laptop computer on the seat and stuff her child into the overhead compartment. Our world is into fast. I was even thinking about this and smiling to myself when I heard a friend tell me one day that on his way to church, he was into fast. And he was coming up Route 6, and he come up to go around somebody, and they kind of hammered down, and it turned into a race. And they're doing like over 100 miles an hour. And then they both got off at the Allen Road exit. And then they both turned. And then they both came up to Northwood Church, and then they both turned in. And they both wanted to park on opposite ends of the parking lot so they wouldn't know who was who. Our world's in the fast. A couple of years ago, I came across the story of a 28-year-old entrepreneur named Matthew Simon, who was so into fast that now he'd been bedridden for several months with chronic fatigue syndrome. From an early age, Simon had measured his achievements by how much he could accomplish in the shortest period of time. The pace had accelerated in college, where he had pulled near perfect grades, participated in several extracurricular activities, ran a campus t-shirt business, founded and edited a campus political journal, and was a junior advisor for a freshman dorm. All of this, he claimed, was possible due to the fact that he found sleep and rest to be a waste of time. After graduating from college, Simon had accepted a very high-powered, fast-paced job with a Boston consulting firm, Bain and Company, while also trying to pull off a real estate venture he had been itching to attempt. So just 2 years removed from college, Simon found himself regularly working better than 100 hours a week, full-time, for Bain & Company and full-time for his thriving real estate business. Now, to handle the demands of his time, he would typically spend the better part of his days at Bain on the phone negotiating real estate deals. He would then do the bulk of his number crunching work for the consulting firm in the evening, usually not leaving the office until 11 o'clock p.m. When he got home, he was usually up until 2 or 3 in the morning working on real estate business, the weekends and early morning hours reserved for looking at properties. Now, all of this was paying off quite handsomely for Simon. I mean, that's why we do more and do it faster, particularly if it's compensating us, right? By the age of 24, his net worth already exceeded $1 million. However, very subtly, the foundations of Simon's life were beginning to crumble. He was starting to miss important meetings. He was partying too heavily. One morning on a flight back to Boston after a night of bar hopping in Minnesota, he ended up sleeping through a transfer of planes in Detroit and didn't wake up until the pilot announced that the plane was about to land in Philadelphia. As the stress began to take its toll, Simon quit Bain and he enrolled in a peer counseling program where now with his newfound interest, he worked real estate 50 hours a week and spent 30 to 40 hours a week counseling, apparently sharing with others how to lead a well-balanced life like himself. More often than not, though, he found himself devoid of life and energy, and soon thereafter, he was diagnosed with chronic fatigue. And even then, he continued to crank out 80 to 90-hour weeks for several more months until the threat of a complete physical breakdown forced him to slow down, at which point he sold his real estate business, he ceased his involvement in the day-to-day management of properties, he headed for home to engage in a long process of rest and recuperation, doing some things he hadn't done for a long time, like reading books, composing songs, writing poetry. Simon later admitted, somewhere along the line, I got the message, listen, because some of us are living that same message today. I got the message that you are judged on output, productivity, and scores. I guess right now I have to figure out what it means to be me without relying on those external measures to define who I am. I remember reading that, go, that right there is powerful. And perhaps an honest assessment of our own lives today might reveal elements of Matthew Simon in a lot of us, if not all of us. No, we may not be cranking out 80 to 100 hour weeks on a regular basis, but many of us might have to admit to knowing something of this tendency to define our lives by our output, by our productivity, by our scores, and if I can do more, so much the better because I'm getting a higher score. And if I can do it faster, so much the better because it's more productivity. And maybe we find ourselves relying exclusively on those external measures to define who we are. John Mark Comer, a still relatively young pastor and author of a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And Katie's going to kick me out there in the bookstore because I didn't tell her I was going to hold up this book today. Some of you are going to want to read it, so you just go order it, okay? It's not probably going to be in stock. It describes the same sensation where after, I don't even know who he is, but he's a young man. Well, I guess when you're 62, everybody's young, right? But after leading a church, listen to this, he was like in his early 20s up until about 30. He was leading a church on the West Coast that grew by 1,000 people 7 straight years. And trust me, I know what it is to have a fast-growing church, but I'm telling you what, we never saw that kind of growth. And I know what it is to say, well, man, we got to add another service because if we don't add another service, what are we going to do? More people could come to Christ. And so if two services are good, are not three services better, and if three services are good, are not four services better, and if four services are good, are not five services better, and he got up to six services a weekend. Finally came to a place where one night as he's riding home from the airport, Uber, head up against the window, and asking himself the question, why am I in a rush to become somebody I don't even like? So after a lot of prayer and talks with mentors, a lot more prayer, a lot more talks, he demoted himself one day, and he stepped down to pastor a much smaller church. His words in this book: we move into the city, I walk to work, I start therapy. One word, wow. Turns out I need a lot of it. I focus on emotional health, work fewer hours, date my wife, play Star Wars Legos with my kids, practice Sabbath, detox from Netflix, start reading fiction for the first time since high school, walk the dog before bed. He says, you know, live. I started living. He said, I have new metrics now. He admits a life of speed isn't easy to walk away from, but for the first time in years, I'm moving toward maturity one inch at a time, becoming more like Jesus and more like my best self. Even better, I feel God again. I feel my own soul. I honestly value who I am becoming over where I end up. Good stuff. And for a type A who loves speed myself, who's spent a good portion of my life in a hurry to the next thing and not always measuring by the right metrics, his words resonate deeply with me. But there is always a part of us that wants to defend that go as fast as you can and produce as much as you can mindset. Someone will say right now, Kel, you're not saying that there's anything wrong with wanting to produce to the full measure of one's capability and potential, are you? And my answer to that is absolutely not. As long as, little caveat, as long as the full measure of one's capability is defined within the context of two deeper overriding issues. The first is a life balance issue where we need to always ask the question, is my drivenness to produce in one area of my life contributing to breakdown in other important areas of my life? That would be a sign that you're doing something that God doesn't want you to do. Or doing more than he's asked you to do. A second issue is a self-identity issue where we need to ask the question, what are the important measurements by which I'm to define my life? You see, only in asking and answering those questions on a regular basis can we really know whether we're living up to the full measure of our capability. And I believe God's purpose through the fourth commandment was to provide a weekly point of reflection whereby we would regularly reconnect with these issues, particularly in a fast-paced culture where it's so easy to find ourselves doing more things faster without even stopping to ask why we're doing them, and on the other hand, whether they're the right things that we should be doing. Through the fourth commandment, God calls us to regularly step back from all of our producing and hurry sickness to reconnect with him and to reflect upon the more important and yet often less pressing issues of life. So God says, and really it's interesting that here on the one commandment, a lot of us feel like, well, I don't know that it really applies to us today. And I get why. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's interesting that it gets three verses more than any other commandment. When Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11 says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That means set apart from your work and set apart unto God. And by the way, I remember when I was growing up in our town, you would have never seen a farmer out in the field on the Sabbath. Nobody went out and mowed their lawn on the Sabbath. Nobody opened their stores on the Sabbath. The town shut down. And it was quiet. And we would rest and we would go to church and we would ask, why? And the answer was, it's the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Set apart, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I think there's something else there. Did you guys know that when we work, but when we rest, God works? You never get ahead by doing 7 days. You're going to find out that when you do six and you take a rest and let God work, you not only get replenished, but you get more done in the long run anyway. And we find this is true of animals when you let them rest. And we find this is true of machines when we let them rest. And everything does better when it gets a rest. I think God knew that. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. By the way, this is not a day off. Just do what you want. The Sabbath to the Lord. And look at how he grounds it in creation. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. I'm like, why? Like God needed a rest? I don't know that he needed to, but I'm going, man, if God rested, maybe we need to. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord, look at that. Bless the Sabbath day. You know, when you take a Sabbath day, it's blessed. And you're blessed because you're taking it. He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, that word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And it literally means to stop. It means time out, break time, stop the action. And though originally observed by the Jewish nation on Saturdays. I've been there many, many times. Boy, it get doomed. Friday night when the sun goes down. By the way, the Hebrew day, this is really cool. The Hebrew day starts in the evening. You ever notice how you only have a good day if you started the night before with a good rest? Hebrew day starts when the sun goes down on Friday, and the Sabbath is Friday night till the sun goes down on Saturday. Everything quiet as could be. So though that's still observed by the Jewish nation on Saturdays, early in the life of the church, in celebration of Christ's resurrection, followers of Jesus came together on Sunday instead of Saturday. And without wanting to become legalistic about the Sabbath or what we can or can't do on it, this type of thing, the point is God intends for each of us to observe a weekly siesta. To come apart from the routine as an important key to experiencing the kind of life we've always wanted. I always say, come apart so you don't come apart. Understand? And that's what God was saying. At first glance, this particular key might appear to be a bit trivial when measured against the other nine commandments. I mean, we can understand not committing adultery, not lying, not stealing, not killing. Oh, I get that. But come on, take 1 day out of seven to stop and rest. What's the big deal? What if I have a lot of energy and I love my work? Why is it such a big deal that I stop and rest if I don't like resting? The answer to that is because if we fail to take commandment number four seriously, we are much more likely to find ourselves violating some or all of the other commandments because of the absence of a regular spiritual reflection and reconnection in our lives. Number four is where we sharpen the saw each week to ensure that our lives stay on course. And so from the beginning of creation, God's intentional design was for us to program into our lives a weekly interval for rest and renewal. In fact, in Mark 2 and verse 27, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Think of it, guys, as like a less stressful Christmas day every week. I've not yet heard one person on Christmas Day say, "You mean I can't go into the office today and I got to stay here with my family and just..." Well, people tend to enjoy Christmas Day. I don't think about work. God said, "I want you to just do that one time a year. I want you to have like a Christmas Day every week." In other words, God didn't, first of all, create the Sabbath and say, "Now I'm going to make man and I'm going to punish him by insisting that he stay out of the office on that day." No, God first created us and then in his love and grace said, "I know that humankind will tend to reduce all of life to work and the productive benefits that work brings, so much so that they are likely to become consumed by their work. They're likely to try to push the limits and live as if they have no limits. Therefore, I'm going to set aside one day each week and insist that they cease their labor, not only so that their physical bodies can be replenished, but also that they not forget their need for spiritual replenishment." So at the heart of the fourth commandment is a call for each of us to reserve regular time for God as the key to keeping our lives on course. And I know that the work-obsessed, performance-driven Matthew Simons among us, who take great pride in keeping the engines revved nonstop, 7 days a week, might be tempted to object. "Cal, I work hard throughout the week, and the last thing I want to do on a weekend is waste time doing God stuff. Why do I need to observe a Sabbath?" Well, let me give you at least five purposes God had in mind when he created the Sabbath for you and for me. And they're not necessarily in this order, but they're just all part of his purpose. Purpose number one, part of God's purpose in the Sabbath is that we might regularly reassess and replenish our lives. Reassess our commitments and receive the replenishment we need to meet them. See, God created us. He knows that we need time to refuel. He knows that we either break our routine or our routine will break us. And we break our routine to reassess how we're doing in the relational, emotional, physical, spiritual components of our lives. Sabbath is a way to practice what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful then how you live. You got to give it some thought. You got to give it some planning. Not as unwise, but as wise. See, I liken this to a football or basketball team taking time at the beginning of the week to watch the tapes of last week's performance so they can learn from the mistakes they've made and be encouraged by where they're performing well. We need to do the same things in our lives. All of us have probably experienced a moment of realization when we had overextended ourselves, serving on too many committees, committed ourselves to many projects, said yes to too many requests, and then found ourselves angry and frazzled and probably in our minds judging the very boy, "They keep asking me." And the answer, my question is, and why do you keep saying yes? What's the metrics going on there? Well, they'll get mad if I don't. See, God wants to stop and go, "Can I talk to you about that?" God's intent is that we spend some regular time reassessing our commitments, choosing wisely, and getting replenished to meet them. He will give you the strength for everything he calls you to do, not everything you've chosen to do, whether he's called you or not. Samuel Plimsoll was a British politician who 127 years ago was able to get a law through Parliament that required English ships to paint a danger mark on their side to indicate when they were loaded beyond a safe limit. I asked him to put up the plimsoll line. I want to show you this, and you can see this even. It became there, that white line. You see that? That line is there to say, don't ever submerge this beneath the water or you're in danger. You can see this on the barges on the Illinois River. And do you know that he actually had to fight a bunch of ship owners on this? And in spite of their strenuous objections, he got his law passed. And what why would people be fighting? Because many ship owners knew that when they went over that limit, they had lost ships. And there was large loss of life as well. But yeah, I just want to get as much on there as I can. It'll be worth more. He got the law passed. Seafaring men still call it the plimsoll line, and every registered ship carries one to this day. I want you to understand that people like ships need plimsoll lines as well. We need to know where the limit is because we have limits. You know, you're limited. You're limited physically. You're here today, and because you're sitting in this seat, you can't be somewhere else. You chose to come sit in this seat. That's a good thing. I think God wants to replenish you, but you can't be somewhere else. You have all kinds of limits. And God wants to help you understand what your limits are, to examine the plimsoll line in your life on a weekly basis. We need to know when we're approaching our limit, and that is part of God's design through a day of rest, that we take time to reassess and refuel. Without that time, listen, without this time, your life is virtually guaranteed to get into overload mode, at which point you will not be experiencing the kind of life you want or the kind God intends you to have. So God said, look, folks, you are not machines. Once a year tune-up isn't going to cut it. You need to replenish your reserves on a regular basis and also offload any extra baggage you don't need in your life. And this weekly day of rest is my tune-up plan for you. So shut down your engines, let everything cool down for a little while so that you can reassess and replenish your lives. That's one purpose. Purpose number two. God designed Sabbath that we might regularly renew our relationship with God. Thus, it's not enough just to cease our work so that we can go boating or golfing or pursue whatever form of amusement we might be into. This is why Exodus 20, verse 10 says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Not just a Sabbath to myself. And I need to add that God is not opposed to our finding joy and rejuvenation through meaningful diversions on Sunday. I'm not saying that. I recall Robert Ingersoll, the famous agnostic from Peoria, whose statue, I believe, still stands right at the bottom of the hill into Glen Oak Park. Always thought it was smirking when I'd be dying during the steamboat race, and that's where our turnaround point would be. Like, Ingersoll, quit smirking. Listen, he was raised. You know a famous agnostic from Peoria? He was raised in the home of a minister. And he said that he despised Sundays, the Sabbath, because he said it was the blackest and bleakest day of the week. He said they weren't allowed to talk or play or go outside. They stayed inside with their curtains drawn. And everything black. And he couldn't wait for Monday to come. And I thought when I read that, well, who wouldn't blame him? That doesn't sound like the celebration of a Christmas day. That sounds like a weekly funeral. And that's not what God was saying when he created the Sabbath. The point is, God's design in creating this day of rest was not to say thou shalt not have any fun. However, we must make sure that this time to rest is not filled with so much diversionary fun that we fail to use it for one of its most important purposes, i.e., to renew our relationship with God. All of us are so prone to wrap our lives up in the pursuit of other things that push God to the fringes of our lives. And God is saying through the Sabbath, don't let that happen in your life. Don't even give it a chance to happen in your life. Don't let the weeks and months slide by without reflecting upon your relationship with me. Yet I've seen this happen time and time again. A person walking with the Lord, maybe realizing how great it is to be forgiven, change that immediately comes to their life after they commit to Christ. They're now cultivating his walk with Jesus Christ. By the way, I'll stop here. I love that. I think was a line in here too, that there's a reason why it's called the daily walk and not the daily run. We call it our walk with Jesus Christ. I've known people, man, they were changed. They couldn't get enough of his word. They were there every time the church doors were open, could understand, how do people stay away? And then, over time, the newness wore off. Maybe without realizing, a little ding came into their heart. And then a new boat or some new golf clubs or a new hunting rifle or a new fishing rod or a new lake cottage or a new girlfriend, etc., came into his or her life. And pretty soon, the regular Sabbath time that had been reserved for God was squeezed out by everything else. And almost imperceptibly, over time, they drifted off course in their life. I saw this early in my ministry with a young man, radically saved and delivered from an addiction to alcohol, wouldn't think of missing church, particularly on Sunday morning. You say, Cal, I don't get why people, what's wrong with all these Christians? They're not excited. They skip church, blah, 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 right? Over time, he got lazy. I remember the day our church was right across from this house, and this friend who used to get on Christians because they were missing church was sitting there saying hi to everybody while they're going into church because he was on his way to go fishing. And I hadn't seen him in church for a long time. It wasn't long after that I received a call that he had been in an accident from having too much to drink again. Actually, he had tried to outrun the police into an old muddy cornfield, and they had set the dogs on him. And I remember the morning that I'm at his bed because he's nursing some injuries as well. And he is grieving and weeping, realizing how far off course he drifted. I've seen it. He's walking with Jesus today, 30-some years later. But I still remember the pain of that moment. And friends, this is what I'm saying to you. If you regularly renew your relationship with God through a weekly Sabbath, you are going to be far less likely to drift off course. Purpose number three is that we might regularly reinforce our values. Sometimes our values can get lost in the shuffle of everyday life, and unless there is regular reinforcement through the teaching and preaching of God's word, we can find ourselves sliding down the cultural slippery slope towards relativistic thinking, feel-good formulas, the end justifies the means rationale. I don't know how many times it has been in the quiet reflection of time with God or hearing the truth of God preached from the pulpit that God's word has reinforced the moral values that are to be a part of my life. Some of you will feel that. You know what I'm talking. You go out of here on Sunday morning going, come on, let's go. God just, he just stuck that back into my life again, right? That's why reflection on the scriptures needs to be a part of our weekly Sabbath. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired of God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is useful for teaching. It draws the line, helps me to know what my values are to be. It's useful for rebuking, tells me when I'm out of line. It's useful for correcting. It gets me back in line. It's useful for training in righteousness. It helps me to walk the line. I'm telling you, I have sat under preaching, and I've preached for 30, 40 years now, and it has been the renewal in the Word of God that has kept my life anchored. And I'm telling you, when you make a choice on your Sabbath to sit under the preaching of the Word of God, there's something happening in that moment that nothing else throughout the week can duplicate. It's the word of God going into your life and keeping you on course. Without that regular time out for reflection on and instruction in God's word, we can so easily slide down a wrong path in our moral and ethical values, and not to say anything of our relational values. I admit that sometimes in the fast pace of my week and demands of work, I can tend to forget that I'm also a husband and a father and now a grandfather, not just a machine to crank out more work and bring home the next paycheck. I'm prone to forget there are other vitally important aspects of my life. And when we fail to let God reinforce our values on a regular basis, we lose our direction. And God is saying, stay in touch with me regularly so that your core values are regularly reinforced. That's part of Sabbath. And then purpose number four, God created Sabbath that we might regularly reorder our steps. Probably better said that he might regularly reorder our steps. If I were to ask for how many of you a significant life change has occurred through a weekend service at Northwoods, and I'm just saying that because if you're part of Northwoods, I'm going to guess this is where you've been coming. It might be through any other church that you attended. I'm going to guess that a whole lot of hands would go up. See, for a lot of us, the whole direction of our life was changed through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that happened during a time, probably at church, that had been set aside to focus on hearing God's word. I wonder, would that change have occurred otherwise? Had you been out hitting the golf ball instead? You see, when we set aside time for God, we provide a context in which we give him our full attention instead of being distracted by everything else. And I know whereof I speak, because the most significant changes in my life, the most important decisions, the most life-altering moments have happened in these moments of rest. We're away from the routine of the week and listening to the preaching of God's word at church and sitting in the worship time, just giving him my life afresh, a significant reordering of my steps has occurred. How different would my life be today, I wonder, were it not for that intimate encounter I had with God while walking into church as a 17-year-old high school student, wondering what God would have me do with my life. And that Sabbath day, I heard the voice of God calling me to preach the gospel. And it became a defining moment in my life that reordered my steps and has shaped my life to this day. I am telling you that would not have happened had I been going to a basketball court instead. Friends, that whole reorientation that day as a 17-year-old would also never have happened had not my mom and dad cared enough to set aside that time each week to get 10 of us kids, 10, get us up, ready to go, and off to church, and not only that, but to a church that was very clear about the claims of Jesus Christ. I say to dads and moms here, observe the Sabbath, not only for yourselves, but for your children and your grandchildren. And when you do, you're providing God a context in which he can not only reorder your steps, but he'll reorder theirs. That's why we like Discovery Land around here to be something that feels like Christmas rather than a funeral. So that your kids come away from, oh, it was so fun, and they want to come to church. William Gladstone, listen to this. He was a 19th century prime minister of England. He once said, tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be. It's cause for concern about the future of this country when all you have to do is look at what the young men are doing on Sunday. But likewise, we can slip the names of our children in there as well. Tell me what your kids are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you their future. Because I know that without a regular commitment to this weekly interval in God's presence where His truth can powerfully reorder our steps, we will drift down roads of our own choosing. We'll miss out on the life God wants for us. God said, don't let that happen. Part of Shabbat. So that you're constantly in my presence, I can reorder your steps. Purpose number five. That we might regularly refocus our perspective. How many of us need a perspective shift once in a while, right? Some of you might remember the story of the letter a first-year college student sent to her parents. She'd been away to school for nearly a full semester, and though she had texted them the first week, they hadn't heard from her in weeks. She hadn't called. They decided to give her space, figuring she'd text or call when the time was right or when she needed money. And sure enough, just shortly before Christmas break, they received an email from her. Mom and Dad, sorry, I haven't been in touch for a long time, but so much has happened, I don't even know where to begin. Needless to say, it's been an incredible semester. First off, I wasn't here more than 2 weeks when I totaled my car, suffered a concussion, broke an arm, which set me back from school right off the bat. Then a few weeks after that, our dormitory caught on fire. Fortunately, no one was hurt severely, but some of us who were trapped made it out by jumping out of the third-story window. I broke my leg in the fall, ended up spending several weeks in the hospital, which set me further behind in my classes, so I decided at that point to just chuck the semester and drop out of school. But what to do about a place to live? Well, while in the hospital, I met this really cute orderly who told me that I could move in with him. I did, and it wasn't long until we fell in love. He's taken very good care of me, and physically I'm doing really well now, but I felt I needed to write and congratulate you on the fact that in a few months you will be new grandparents. That's right, I'm pregnant. I hope all is well with you too. Looking forward to seeing you for Christmas, your loving daughter. And then this P.S., by the way, nothing in this letter is true. I just thought it would help you maintain some perspective when I told you that I got a D in my English class this semester. And wouldn't you be ready to kill her, right? But see, that gal knew something about how important perspective can be. I find that I regularly need to have my perspective refocused on what's truly important, lest I find myself becoming unduly influenced by the trivial. I need to continually be reminded there is more to life than meets the eye, more to life than here and now. I become very reflective here as I consider the handoff and the fact that I'll be stepping out of my lead pastor role in like 5 months from now. Several years ago, I received one of those calls at 4:15 a.m. telling me the young man in our church was seriously ill. By the time I got dressed and arrived at the hospital a half hour later, he was dead. 39 years old. And his life gone. That does something to your perspective. But you see, God doesn't intend that funerals be the only place where we do a little perspective check. Particularly when it's our own funeral, it's too late then. His built-in plan from creation was that one day each week we would voluntarily cease our labor to reflect upon the fact that one day we will all involuntarily cease our labor. Our lives on earth will be over. And then what? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's given to man once for all. Man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. And God's will for each of us is that when our lives are over here, rather than judgment, it'll be an assessment because we followed Him. But not only that, that we will experience His eternal Sabbath. Life in His presence forever. And don't think of that as boring. Think of that as Christmas every day. You see? And you enter into that rest by inviting Christ into your life now. It's like every time we stop on Sunday morning, you've never thought about this, but we are preaching the gospel just by stopping. Because it's a way of reflecting beyond, reflecting on something greater. And that is the way you enter into God's rest is to cease your own working and trusting his grace. Can't work for the salvation he wants to give you. You have to stop. And you have to put your faith in him and trust him. And when you do that on Sunday morning, you're preaching that gospel. I'm trusting him. The Bible says that since God's offer of entering into that eternal rest still stands, don't harden your hearts. It's telling us, begin a relationship with him right now if you haven't done that. So that when your work ends here, you'll enter into his rest there. And if you have done that, then make sure your schedule reflects a week-by-week Sabbath appointment now. And let God know you're living in light of that eternal Sabbath later and you're trusting him. I'm going to pray, but I want to just give you a couple ideas. What do you do with Sabbath? Well, you want some ideas? This kind of whets your appetite a little bit. Pick up the book. All kind of ideas in here. But let me give you a couple, okay? If you're married, talk about it as a couple. On the way home, I've been practicing in here what they call slowing. Do you know what it's like for me to put my cruise control on the speed limit and just watch people fly past me? As a way of saying I'm trying not to be in a hurry. Listen, there's nothing that reflects Jesus in my life when I get in a hurry. And I bet it's the same with you. The time I get angry, when I get frustrated, I'm in a hurry. I slow down. That's what the Sabbath is all about. Talk about it as a couple. How can we Shabbat weekly in a more meaningful way? I don't care whether you do that sundown Thursday to sundown Friday or sundown Friday. Doesn't really matter to me what day. Most of us, Sunday's going to be the good day. Saturday night, get ready, plan. What can we do to have a really meaningful Shabbat? Make it like Christmas. Second, I'm going to meddle here. This guy actually gave me the idea. Shut your cell phone off and put it in a drawer until Sabbath is over. And for all your friends who think you died, let them know I'll be back in touch when the Sabbath is over. Give it a rest. And then plan your Sabbath. Don't make it a day for chores. What would be fun? What would be renewing? What would be replenishing? Sleep, read, walk, rest, eat, sleep some more, eat some more. Think, journal, worship. Make it a Christmas day. Let's recapture Sabbath and make it a day unto the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's stand together for prayer. I want you to just bow your head and your heart. Those of you who know Jesus right now, thank him. Lord, I thank you for the day that you helped me understand that salvation was not something I could work for, but it was trusting and resting in your grace. Let me be a reflection in the way I do life, that I'm walking that pace. Someone said, that's why I reminded you, it's not the daily run, it's the daily walk. Lord, help me to know how to do meaningful Shabbat with you. And if there's someone here today that just in the hearing of my voice, you would say, Kel, I'm not sure that I truly have that relationship, that were my life done here today, that I'd enter into the eternal rest. I'm saying, friend, you can know that, and it's one of the most important things that you know now, that when you are done here, you're gonna experience that eternal Christmas time with Jesus. It's a matter of your resting in him. If you're ready to do that, You just express your faith today by saying something like this: Lord Jesus Christ, I need the rest that only you can bring to my soul. I need the forgiveness that only you can bring to my soul. I need the healing that only you can bring to my soul. I need your salvation and your life in my life. And so today I lay down all my attempts at trying to be good enough, all my going my own way, and I come to you. I open my life and I say, Lord Jesus Christ, come in and be the Lord, the master, the ruler, the boss in my life from this day forward, and set me on your plan, your purpose, your pace from this day forward. I want to walk with you. And so thank you for forgiving me and giving me eternal life today in Jesus' name. And friend, if you prayed that, I'm not going to ask you to come down or anything, but we put out the yes packets today as a way of saying, mark it by walking past that table, getting a little New Believer's Bible and some other information that we put together for you so you can begin to walk out this life. You pick up one of those yes packets and we'll just celebrate that God has brought you into his eternal kingdom. The rest of you, you have an amazing Shabbat the rest of this day, okay? And thank God for what he's doing in your life. God bless you guys. Have a great day. If you need prayer for anything, come on down. Our prayer team will be here. Be glad to see you and pray with you. You all have a great week. Those of you watching online, thank you. Thank you for spending part of your Shabbat with us. I pray God spoke into your life. Pray that you'll just find that meaning in rest and allowing him to speak into your life. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back next week.
We hope you enjoyed this weekend's service. And if that listening time was meaningful to you and you connect it with the message about the Sabbath, I encourage you to take the Sabbath and listen to what God is saying and what the Holy Spirit is saying to you in those moments. But truly take a Sabbath. What a powerful time to hear that, especially in this crazy world, being able to take a Sabbath.
It is definitely a foreign concept to us these days, but that listening time was awesome. And also, if you're looking for any extra just tools or a discussion group to just carry out some of these things we talk about on the weekend, to talk about them with other people, or just to learn more, I would love for you to join our Northwoods Online Facebook group. We have devotionals that we post there weekly. You are invited to share prayer requests in that group so that we can be praying for each other. Or just whatever it might be. You might have questions about the service time. I actually just had somebody asking about what time and where for the Canton services in the group the other week. So we would love for you to be a part of that group. And so you can check that out and join us on Facebook. But until next week, I hope that you have an awesome week, a blessed week, and that you make time for Sabbath and rest in the days ahead.